G'day, Alan Langer here. They reckon the Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man is lifting podcasting to new heights. I reckon they could use a bit of a boost from Height for Hire myself. Call 1-800-HEIGHT or go to heightforhire.com.au.
Have you both seen that photo of Davey Warner at the building site? Former Australian opener, if anyone doesn't know who Dave Warner is.
Yeah, so doing a little bit of research, he's actually working on his $10 million mansion, which is overlooking a bay in Sydney at Maroubra. He and Candice, his wife, bought the property for $4 million, knocked down the house, and he's apparently helping build
the
new
one. There's a bit of complaints. It's been going for 14 months just sitting there waiting, and he's finally got a bit of spare. Well, of course, he's got a bit of spare time on his
hand. He's got some.
Can
time.
I just tell everyone? So they're saying that he's working for the builder as a labourer. Okay, He's wearing ASIC running shoes with little shorty short socks. Okay, doke, and ASIC shorts, and they're the sponsor of the Australian cricket team. There's no dirt on him. If you're a labourer who's wearing gloves and hasn't got any dirt. Anyway,
you're just a guy, Marto's
you're
not
just
happy
a guy
with
wearing
this.
Gloves. What kind of gloves are they?
No,
are
they're
they
not
kid
batting
gloves. They're not batting gloves.
Not batting gloves. And he's lifting. He is actually doing something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
he's,
but you weren't happy with what he was doing either, because you went into in further investigation when you saw he wasn't wearing steel capped work boots.
No, he's got a helmet on that says D Warner and stuff. Yeah, like
celebrity and apprentice.
I haven't seen the photo, Marto. Is it? Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Is it a cricket helmet?
No. Oh, imagine that. No, it's an actually building helmet. But let's have a listen to this. You guys may not understand jackhammers, but they had him on their jackhammer. So I don't know. You reckon this is set up or not? Somebody stuck the phone, took video, Joey, and just listen to the jackhammer. What are jackhammers used for? They're used to break
cutting
up
rock.
Concrete or very hard rock.
That's not hitting anything.
No. It should be more of a. That's a setup.
Oh, so it's a Candice Warner photo shoot.
That's right. Where's Dave? He's not looking after the kids. Oh, I've been at work all day, love.
Oh, actually, if you look on Twitter, there's a couple of other shots of their kids at the building site.
Oh, so. The kids are at the building. That's safe. Can you imagine if Dave Warner actually? Can you imagine him on a day at work? Like if he worked as a labourer, like he played cricket, he'd either have all the jobs done by Smoko or he'd be home in bed at 7:10 in the morning. That's Dave Warner, cricketer working.
I don't think they're going to ask him to do any sanding on that site, though, are they? That's still a bit too soon.
Hold on. This just through. We've got some actuality of Dave and his boss, the builder, asking him to do a few things.
Hey, Dave, where'd you put those two pallets of bricks I asked you to move?
I can honestly say I'm sorry. I apologise and I take full responsibility.
Hey, Dave, I asked for no sauce on me pie for Smoko, mate.
I want to sincerely apologise. I've let you down badly.
Hey, Dave, what's happened to that plasterboard we needed up on the second floor?
I apologise for my actions. I apologise unreservedly and I'm sorry.
The Big Breakfast knows people in high places, and one of those places is the Prime Minister's office. Uncle Mal, very good friend of the show. And on Fridays, he climbs out of his castle. He wants to be an everyday type of guy, and he's gone, I need the voters of Brisbane to understand me. So he's been doing, every Friday, he's been doing a thing called the Superb Suburb, and this Friday, he casts his eye over Nogra.
Hello, this is the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull speaking. And it's time for this week's Superb Suburb. And this week, my superb suburb is Enoggera. I like saying Enoggera. Enoggera. Enoggera, only 6 kilometres from town and dominated by the beautiful Enoggera Hill, is home to Brisbane's largest army barracks. Occasionally, the sporadic gunfire and explosions scare the bejesus out of the locals, but it's all for our nation's security. With Anzac Day coming up on Wednesday, we look to the men and women of the ADF and the army barracks at Enoggera, and we salute you. Good on you. You're good people and great constituents. You can often see the men and women from the army getting around Enoggera, shopping or having a coffee in a cafe in their camouflage gear. And I want to say, I can see you. I can see you. Camouflage gear in the city should have tables and chairs on it. Lucy, I'm doing camo jokes. But I digress. Enoggera is actually a misnomer. It was actually meant to be Eugera, with a U where the N is, but an early clerical error changed the name forever. Weird, but true. Enoggera, a place that means song and dance in Indigenous lore, a place the people of Ashgrove have looked down their noses at for generations. Head up Wardell Street, get on a train and hop off at Enoggera Station, head to Pickering Street for a new muffler, grab a beer at the Audley Arms Hotel. Enoggera, do it. You're mad if you don't. Bye now.
As you know, guys, I'm a married man with two children, but the true love of my life is my little labradoodle crossed with a spoodle, Mr. Rupert Bear. Hello, Rupert, if you're listening.
You get this funny look on your face whenever you talk about
him. Just talk normal.
No, I can't talk normally, Marto, because when I give him a noogie in the morning, because he's up and with me.
What's I've a noogie?
I've got to bite my cheeks and go, noogie, 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 noogie.
Is that rubbing his ribs like you're doing?
Yeah, that's right, rubbing his ribs. You know exactly what I'm doing.
No, I don't.
And he goes,
talk.
And he makes that little grunting sound,
Yeah, when you get a little too close to his groinal region, don't they love that? That's the way
that's
to.
Right. When he's sticking his leg out and going, go on, mate, touch it.
No, he doesn't say that. Anyway.
We
get very intimate with our dogs. We love them. But, you know, there's one thing that you have to do when you go out walking, and that is pick up after your dog, and makes you sometimes wonder who is actually at the top of the food chain in this relationship.
So true.
The other night I got home from doing a show and opened the front door. Rupert's waiting there, and our street's quite well lit, and so I take him out off lead in case he needs to do a wee or a poo before bedtime. So I'm wandering down the street, and he stops, you know, does the little hunch, and he's doing a poo, and I was like, oh, I haven't got a plastic bag on me. Oh, I can see a woman walking towards me, and she looks at me and looks at the dog, and then he stops and walks off, and she's just staring at me. And I might have been projecting onto this. It's like, are you going to pick that up, mate? So I, Rupert's poo, maybe I'm describing too much here, but it's kind of like, you know, pretty solid. It's not soft. He cracks out a fair log, but I bend down, I pick it up with a bare hand.
With your fingers?
Oh.
With my fingers.
Turn it up, mate.
And throw it into the gutter. And she is more disgusted at that. She did the, oh, exactly what you just did. Oh. And I said, well, I haven't got a bag. And she's
what
like,
what bit was she awing about? You touched it or you put it in the gutter? Or it's a awe.
No, I think throwing it into the gutter is okay.
Well,
you're getting
it
off
kick
the
it?
Nature.
At least use your foot.
You kick
no, because
it?
I reckon the force, it hasn't got enough integrity to kick it.
Oh, it would stick again.
Yeah, you're going to end up squashing it. So I could just lightly pick it up with my fingers and toss it into the gutter.
Then what did you do with your hand?
I had to kind of like really maintain memory because, you know, I've got a very short like attention span. And so I was like, you cannot scratch yourself with that hand. Do not put that hand near your ear.
Your poo hand.
Dog
had a poo hand operating.
And then I had to have a bit of a smell of it.
No,
smell
it.
I was like, yeah, it's like pretty intense. Stop talking. It's radio. I've got to talk.
Hold on. What were you expecting before you sniff? Were you, maybe this one doesn't smell.
Yeah, but you know what it's like. You know, if you suspect something's a bad smell, you've got to smell it just to be sure. And they'll also smell it a second time confirm.
But you're in a no-win situation because if you'd left it, it's $253 fine for not picking up after your dog. And
is that
what
it is?
It's a $63 fine. Yeah, in Brisbane, it's a $63 fine for not having a bag.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's fairly intense.
So there you go.
How about what's the fine for walking around with dog poo on your hand?
Yeah.
See, that should be a fine. Oh, mate, that is. Okay, can we take a song and come back? I've got a magnificent dog poo story, and I'll know a lot of people will have a dog poo horror story.
Yeah,
let's continue.
If you've got one, please, 1-333-533. We've all been in that.
Hold on, what did you end up doing? Yeah. You went home.
So I went, you know, I walked Rupert. He did a wee after that, and then I went home and I made sure that came into contact with nothing until I'd washed it.
Now, Moon, if that woman wasn't coming the other way, would you have let the poo sit there?
Yeah, and I would have gone home and got a plastic bag and picked it up next time around. And I do pick up the occasional cold case too.
All right.
Somebody else's?
Oh, don't do that. Anyway, Harry played footy down at Brothers Rugby Club about 2 weekends ago. All right, I don't want to talk about this. People need to pick up their poo. Twice in the one game, he got tackled on dog poo on a football field, Brothers Rugby Club. Not once. He said one hit me to the bottom. He changed jerseys at halftime and went again in the second half. How much dog poo is on a field if you get nailed twice in a game with poo? He said it was just below, you know, on your chest up high here on his jersey. And all game, he was smelling dog poo.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, that is the worst.
We're taking your calls, 1-333-533. Your dog poo horror stories. Now, we have to behave ourselves because Robin Bailey's out of the studio doing the Today Show. There's no one to keep us in check,
all right,
so let's be sensible.
All right, let's make a pact, everyone. Don't say S-H-I-T. Just call it poo.
Or spell it. Let's go to Chris, 1-333-533. What's your dog poo horror story?
Who we got? Great. Chris. Hello, Chris.
Shambles.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Yeah, what happened, mate?
Mate, I was doing the normal thing of mowing the yard, so you sort of move all the furniture out the way and you get your bag and you pick up the dog poo and now you continue with the first mower full. And as I went to reattach the mower catcher at the back, I pushed the mower forward and the sad part being is that bag was in front of the mower.
No! It's hit you!
I kid you not, it literally hit the fan, boys. It was everywhere.
Oh, that's rapid poo. That's high poo velocity.
It was an instant gag reflex. Okay. It was not good.
Oh, was it all below the knee, though?
It was all over the walls, the plants, everything got a hosing.
Chris, we've got to ask you what kind of a dog you got.
He's a big dog, you're Roddy.
Oh, yeah.
Roddy. What's his name?
Shamba.
Sad.
You know what they say about big dogs.
That is great. High velocity. Grant from Forest Lake, good morning.
There you go.
Yeah, mate. What happened? Dog poo horror story.
Yeah, so our childhood dog was an outside dog. And, for obvious reasons. Getting ready for school one day. Someone left the front door open. The dog ran inside and ran straight upstairs and left a little present in my brother's school shirt.
Did he realise before he put it on?
Yeah. So mum was on his back to get his
get to school,
to get his stuff together for school, and there was a nice big sloppy dog poo in his school shirt.
Don't tell him. He didn't put it on. That's what we're just checking. He didn't wear it, did he?
Mum made him wash it out and wear it to school.
That's so confusing for a child as well. Oh, who's crapped in me shirt? Why?
But you're the kid who smells of dog. You're the kid who smells of dog poo at school. That's not good.
Hey, Grant, you've got a $100 Hoppies Hand Wash Cafe, Bowen Hills, Norman Park, Toowong and Gold Coast voucher. You've made us laugh and we love that, brother. Good on you.
That's great. Sorry, we haven't got time for everyone's dog poo stories.
There was some so heinous we couldn't put to air, we might have to do a special podcast on it one day.
Brisbane's Triple M Big Breakfast.
Height for High, you're on Brisbane's Triple M. The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Shower or two today, top of 27. Holding our own banking royal commission in 10 minutes. You've ever been dudded by the big banks? We want to hear your stories very soon.
Get world-renowned Toyota reliability. Forklifts you can trust. Get the Toyota Forklift Advantage at toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
We better get everyone sorted in terms
of breakfasts. Hello. Sports all in.
Sorry about that.
Let the opener finish.
Get everyone sorted out for the weekend. We spoke to Chris Fagan, the Lions coach. And what did he tell us? We expect a lot of better stuff tonight.
Yeah, and he reckons they're going to beat the Suns by 5.
That's right. And that's Sunday afternoon. Saturday night, Reds are playing the Chiefs. Their first game at home in 6 weeks. So they're
still on their bandwagon.
They're paying $5.75. They are rank outsiders. I'm actually going to place money on that because I've got a big belief. Just for everyone, the Chiefs have got injuries up front and the Reds have got Taniela Tupou back, the Tongan Thor.
Is that why you're wearing your red shirt?
That's right. I forgot I had that on. Good show of support. And Brendo, can you give us the raw? They're playing tonight against Melbourne. Did you say you're sniffing out upset there too? Oh,
I think they might be specials. I don't know. This is their 8th consecutive final season in a row.
It
gets to finals time, the Brisbane Roar switch on. I think you were saying no Holman tonight.
That's what I just read. No Brett Holman.
That's a problem.
Moon's got his orange shirt on in honour of.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you, from an AFL point of view, 23 years ago, Kevin Sheedy created the first Anzac round, which was Collingwood versus Essendon. Yeah. And that's played on Anzac Day. And now I think it was NRL picked up on that. Is there a traditional Anzac Day clash in the NRL?
I tell you what, 6 o'clock tonight. There's not 6 o'clock tonight's the closest to it. Top of the table, Warriors against the Saints. That is worthwhile stopping everything at 6. But hold on, we better get to the Melbourne Storm versus Broncos game to talk that. Kevvy Walters, Queensland Origin coach. Hello, mate.
Dave Marto, listen, I'm going to pick you up there, my friend. In rugby league, there is a traditional Anzac Day match between the Roosters and the Dragons, I've got to say. And also the Melbourne Storm always host the Warriors in Melbourne on Anzac Day as well.
Yeah. So, but Anzac Day's next Wednesday. Is that going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, they got to turn their games around really quickly and get going again. So the Warriors played last night and the Dragons are playing tonight. So.
Oh, okay. So that is going to happen on Wednesday.
That'll happen Wednesday, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevy.
Hey, what's going on down at the Bronx?
Yeah, look, I saw that presser yesterday from Wayne. I've got to say, I feel a bit for Wayne in this occasion. I think he got sort of swamped a bit with some questions. He was expecting questions, you know, from the media about the game and what a clash it's going to be. And instead, he got, you know, asked about his future and Craig Bellamy coming in, which would be pretty frustrating, I'd have to say, if you're Wayne. He's trying to get his team ready for a game and it sort of got sideswapped, didn't it?
Yeah, but he can't be surprised by that. Like, he's been dealing with the media for decades.
Well, I guess he just assumed that they were going to talk about the game and he got swamped and he got a bit cranky too, the big fella.
He did. Oh,
he got cranky.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of feeling between the two teams, I've got to say. You know, over the years we've seen in recent times, you know, with the way back to that grand final in 2006 and then Cameron Smith as well was involved in a couple of things that the Broncos didn't appreciate with Sam Thaiday. So over the years there's been a history of it all. And tonight, again, we're going to get another great match. I mean, both teams have been a little bit indifferent with their form, but just throw that out the window tonight and it'll be a ripping match tonight. I can see it coming.
Kevy, you know, a lot of focus has been on Craig Bellamy, the coach of the Storm. You worked with him down at the Storm. You worked with him at the Storm. The rumour's true that he works so hard he used to sleep under his desk at night time and then just pop up and start again in the morning?
No, well, that's pretty close to the rumours were that he had a television in his bed. So he could, when he was lying in bed, he could actually watch clips of the Storm and whoever they're playing before he went to sleep. And then when he wakes up in the morning, the television's there again and on it goes. So, yeah, look, he is a workaholic, but one that's had so much success, you know, at the Storm. The way he does things is different to other coaches. And as we all know, in sport and in life, there's many ways to skin a cat, but Craig's way is working his ass off and making sure that all of his staff do as well, and for that matter, all of his players. And it's been a successful formula for him. And I don't think things have changed too much over the time. Talk of him retiring, I see some chat around that. You know, I don't think Craig Bellamy would know how to retire. He would go silly sitting at home doing nothing.
Who would he swear at? You'd have not enough people to.
Oh, well, that's why we got dogs and cats and animals for.
Hey, Kevy, can I just check something for tipping? Warriors and Knights, are they both capable of upsets?
I think the Warriors are at home. Yeah, the Dragons, possibly. And the Knights, certainly. They've been good this year, a little bit indifferent in patches, but I like what Kalen Ponga is doing at the back and also Pierce for them as well. So they could cause an upset. Who are they playing? I haven't seen that end of the ladder.
Knights playing the Tigers. And
yes, well, they could beat the Tigers, but Tigers in good touch as well. So that'll be a cracking weekend of sport. If you're a Queenslander, don't you just love this weekend? We've got the Roar and the Broncos and our other team, the Melbourne Storm, on tonight, and then the rugby tomorrow night.
And the Lions.
Lions
Sunday.
Lions on Sunday. When are they playing? Sunday, the Lions.
Don't even notice there's no Commonwealth Games. Kevy, salute you. Thanks, mate.
No worries.
It's the Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Top of 27s today. You're going to get a shower or two, all thanks to Hite for Hire for on-time delivery of modern reliable booms and scissor lifts. 1-800-HITE, hiteforhire.com.au. You got any plans for your birthday, Moon?
I'm a bit of a diariser.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. And so I don't mind going back in time and thinking, what was I doing, you know, 10 years ago today? Hmm. So it's my birthday on Sunday, and 10 years ago on the 22nd of April, 2008, I was in Launceston in Tassie for my birthday. Oh. Not celebrating my birthday. I was actually working. It was a Saturday night, I think, or a Friday night. And I was in Tassie for the Launceston Footy Club function at the Launceston Country Club. And the two men that organised that function were guys called Mick and Darryl, and they were both policemen in Launceston.
Launceston's a nice place.
It is a nice place.
And it's bagged, though, doesn't it?
Mm. It does. Terribly by people in Tassie because it's the little brother to Hobart. Mm. And so when you're out with cops who have, you know, hired you basically for a job, you feel a bit safer. You feel like maybe you can take a walk on the wild side. And that night, I got Mick and Darryl into trouble.
Did you?
They organised the sportsman's night. Spider Everett, who is on 92.5 Gold FM on the Goldie, he was
the sporting guy. Yeah.
And anyway, it was a great success. We hit the bar afterwards. We had a few frothies, and then the bar shut. And I said to Mick and Darryl, "Why don't you come back to my room? We'll just smash the minibar." They're like, "Yeah, no worries." Some other people came back with us, and it got pretty rowdy. Yeah. And there was a phone call from reception. "Can you please keep the noise down?" "Yeah, no problem." And then next thing you know, there's a knock on the door. So I said, "Who is it?" And it's like, "Mr. Mooney, it's security." So I said, "Okay, everyone hide." And I turned the lights off. I got in the wardrobe. I think Mick got underneath the lamp. Somebody else got on the other side of the bed. And it's like, "Mr. Mooney, you got to open the door and, there was silence, greeted the guys from security, and eventually they opened the door, and there was giggling. I can hear the lights come on, and then the security guy goes, "You underneath the lamp, are you Mr. Mooney?" He goes, "No, I'm not Mr. Mooney." "You down by the bed, are you Mr. Mooney?" He goes, they said, "Where's Mr. Mooney?" And they both just pointed to the wardrobe. "Mr. Mooney, come out of the wardrobe, please." I said, "No, I'm not in here." And they said, "Come on, come out of the wardrobe, mate." What? So I came out of the wardrobe and they said, "You've got to keep the noise down, otherwise you're going to have to leave the hotel." And I said, "And what if I refuse to leave the hotel?" And they said, "We would call the police." And I said, "Nah, well, the police are already here."
Oh, you dug them in.
No.
And Mick and Darrow went,
"Senior Constable Lightshade."
Happy birthday, Moon. We'll catch you on Monday. Don't waste your life.
See you guys.